The Staff and Graph Podcast.
This is weird. My lock's been drilled, so I open the door and my steering wheel is missing.
And looks for salad.
You know, you're trying very hard not to get sued.
You can have all the talent in the world skating around, but if you don't have a goaltender, it does not matter.
Team Tidy Business, baby. Welcome back to the Staff and Graph Podcast. I'm Mike Stevens. Sitting virtually across from me is the one and only Rachel Dory. Rachel, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you? Mike is wearing like the brightest orange hoodie I've ever seen.
It is the Eric Lindros Celebrity Hockey Classic to benefit Easter Seals. I played in it and raised money in it and participated in everything on Friday. We're recording this on Sunday. Played three hockey games in one day. My body is not cooperating right now, but we move on.
I'm excited to talk hockey with you. Like, how long has it been since we've actually been able to, like, really talk hockey?
Too long.
Like, almost a year now?
Like, we'll send each other texts and call each other and talk about hockey and stuff, but, like, in terms of an actual, like, sit down for, like, 45 minutes to an hour, talk about hockey, it's been too long. It's been too long.
Our text messages with my texts with Mike consist of, look at this goal! Like, and maybe, and like, just, like, a like emoji, because, like, I couldn't say anything for the longest time, but it was just, like, look at how cool this is. Or me texting Mikey being, like, really good job on the podcast. Like, that's basically been the extent, and then us just, like, absolutely dunking on random things in our text thread. It's just been a lot of fun.
it's been an absolute blast. But now we're back. I mean, like, look, I'm going to be honest. I did not think we'd be back in a situation where we could do a podcast together. It's a shame that it happened in the scenario that it did, and we will get into that in a sec. But I could not be happier to have Rachel back on the podcast. Back, you know, on the other side of the mic, where, you know, look, she belongs in the front office, but in my heart, this is where she belongs. So this is great. Why don't we just look, you know how much you're allowed to talk about here. I'm just going to tee you up, Rachel. You're back on the podcast for a reason. Why don't you get into that?
So obviously I'm not with the Canucks anymore. That's not a secret. Thank you to whoever decided that making that public was a good idea. Obviously I can't say anything. It's public knowledge. I've retained Peter Gull as my attorney. So I'm really confident, with him. He's been absolutely fantastic. I can't say anything right now. When I can say something, or when the parties can say something, it will be said. It's a legal proceeding, and there's not a lot you can say during a legal proceeding. To everyone that's kind of, like, reached out or said that they're apprehensive about reaching out because they know that I'm getting inundated, like, I really do appreciate the support. Obviously, moving across the country, when you've got the family stuff that I do going on, only to move back not that long later. Very stressful. 10 out of 10 don't recommend moving across the country for about a month and a half. But it is what it is. And I got to say, it's pretty awesome to be able to have dinner every night with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm. I would say due to the circumstances, you know, you probably wouldn't move across the country for an employment opportunity. And then put yourself through moving back if it was, I don't know, if it was conducive to you and your health.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a secret. Those that are very close to me know that I've had some health issues of late, and they've not been fun. But I'm on the mend now, and I'm feeling a lot healthier than I was about a month ago. So that's pretty good. I know Mikey was pretty worried about me because he happened to be talking to me the night that I had some pretty serious health issues. So thank Mike for his support. And there's also one thing I would like to say, and it's, we'll get back into this in a second, but I wasn't able to do it like while I was kind of behind the curtain, but I just wanted everybody to know that you have my full support for what you're going through with your health issues. And anybody that wants to chirp you for putting on weight or whatever because you're battling a tumor can absolutely go and pound salt.
Well, here's the thing, is that, like, A, you know, it's fading away now, which is good, you know?
Yeah, we love that.
To normal size, you know, and which is great. And let's get into some hockey talk, shall we? And by hockey talk, I mean, let's talk about the World Cup in soccer. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so we're recording this early Sunday morning. The World Cup's happening. And for those of you who have been around long enough know that I am quite interested in that. And Canada's in it, which is super fun. But as much as, like, I've got personal friends on the team, whether it's, like, Pritchie or Mark Anthony, Tejan, like, I'm really happy that Canada's there. I think it's fantastic for the sport. And just to see, like, the excitement in Canada about the World Cup, it's been fantastic. But I gotta say, I mean, I'm pretty excited for the Germans. You got some personal relationships there too. And for me, it'll be really nice to just be able to kind of enjoy the sport that I love. And I gotta be honest with you, Mike, the more I think about it, the more I don't want to work in hockey anymore. Because I've realized... Yeah. Like all the people saying, oh, she's never going to get a job in hockey again. Here's a newsflash for you. I do not want one.
Yeah. Also, like, that's wrong. Like, you could if you wanted to. But also, like, why would you?
I could work in soccer, man. Look how much fun this is.
I've said many times before that the only things I know about soccer come from Rachel and Ted Lasso. And I'm just excited to, like, you know, I'm obviously going to be cheering on Canada because I am a Canadian. But, you know, like, you're of German descent. You have a lot of ties to the German national team. Like, they will be in my heart, obviously.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that. I will also take this opportunity to say that that World Cup should absolutely not be in Qatar.
Yeah. So what was funny is Sepp Blatter talking about how maybe it was a bad idea to put it in. Like, no kidding, really.
It would honestly, for the people who don't really understand, it would be like if the NFL said, we're going to host the Super Bowl in Lake Ontario.
It makes no sense. Like, the reason...
But also then have, like, a bunch of, like, human rights violations on top of that.
Yes, so, like, the fact that, like, the ambassadors are basically, like, on record saying that, like, they view gay people, or you know, people who are gay, the sexual orientation of someone who identifies as gay, as being online with, like, bestiality, that's pretty bad. And then on top of that, too, the reason why it's happening in November is because it's, like, 53 degrees Celsius in the summer in Qatar, so playing a game in the middle of the summer when it usually would be set would kill people. Like,
it is literally dangerous.
Like, I don't... Obviously, there's so much, like, corruption and stuff going behind it. Like, when you have to jump through the logistical hurdles to hold an event like this, where you have to, like, reschedule it. Like, it's in the middle of everyone's seasons. People are getting injured left, right, and center, like, 2 days before the World Cup. Like, Alfonso Davies almost went down, you know? Or he did go down. It looked like he might be, you know, like, that's it. Like, it's like Connor McDavid's going to miss the Olympics, you know? Like, it's terrible. So, it's one of those situations where it's going to be really tough to just sort of, like, as they say, separate the art from the artist, just, like, watch the sport, enjoy, because, like, as much as I want to support Rachel's passions, like, I could give less of a crap about soccer, like, you know that. You know, like, Rachel, like, I care about as much about soccer as Rachel cares about, like, Star Wars, you know? Like, it's
or Mike's NHL video games,
or any of the nerdy that Mike goes through. But at the same time, like, I love the World Cup. Like, I love watching it. Like, it's the one soccer event because it's best on best. It's like a legendary event, you know, like, this is
best on best. What a concept.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. And you know, we could get into that too. And also, like, it's just like the World Cup, there's, like, this prestige to it, you know, and it sucks that it's being diminished by all this corruption, but there's this, it's the World Cup, man. Like friggin'.
Italy wins,
and Woodbridge shuts down for a month. You know, like, it's cool, man. So I love it, and hopefully we'll be able to actually enjoy it. And you know, like, if anything, you know, if we're gonna put on our progressive hats for a second and hopefully get some brownie points there, they're female refs this time. That's cool.
Yeah, and
equality is solved, Rachel.
It's solved.
The wage gap has disappeared. Do you feel good now that you're in equal footing to men now? This is crazy.
Oh, fantastic.
This is amazing.
I mean, like, I think we'll see, like, some players take a stand. Like, I know the Germans have been, like, Manuel Neuer wore a pride armband when the Germans played Hungary at the Euro because Viktor Orban was, like, jailing people of the LGBTQ plus community. And Manuel Neuer was like, yeah, we're not going to stand for that. And then when Leon Goretzka scored, he, like, literally yelled "Love is love" at them, and I was dying.
Yeah, you texted me about that right after too, and I, you know, that was fun.
We love that, but yeah, like, I think honestly, it's been almost 2 months, but I've kind of been involved in the soccer scene as it pertains to the World Cup for longer than that, and I'm looking forward to that continuing. It's just, it's one of those things where for me, like, it just is a whole lot. There is nothing that I love more, including hockey, than watching the Germans play, like, or Bayern. Like, that's just for me, like, everyone's like, oh, hockey this, hockey that. I mean, there's a reason I haven't worked in soccer up until now in an official capacity, and it's because I don't want to see how the sausage is made. I've already had one sport ruined for me. I don't need a second one.
Look, we used to, like, specifically craft our schedule around the Bayern games.
We did.
Because I knew that if we were recording while Bayern is playing, like, Rachel wouldn't be focused. Like, she just wouldn't pay it. She wouldn't give a shit that I'm sitting right across from her. You know, so it was... So that just goes to show. Speaking of best on best... So the NHLPA yesterday, and the NHL, they came out a joint statement that said that they were initially planning to hold the World Cup of Hockey, which is the bastardized, you know, like Olympics sort of stand-in because no one can get along, apparently, and realize what's best for the sport. And they were going to hold the World Cup of Hockey in February 2024. That is now off the table, they said, due to the current climate, and they're hoping to... have it scheduled for February 2025. Now, the reason for this, Rachel, I'm not sure if you've known this. I'm not sure if you've been paying attention to our global climate, you know, inside when you're working in hockey and being a bigwig, is that Russia's kind of acting a little crazy right now. And so clearly what the NHL is saying is they're hoping that Russia chills the heck out by 2025, which is about, like, you know, it's like 2.5 years or so. And hopefully we can have that happen.
I love that they were like,
our current climate.
Due to current climate. Just say it. I'm so sick and tired of people, like, dancing around stuff like that. Just say, we can't do it because...
There's a war.
One of the major countries that would be involved is currently invading another country.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, don't... do that.
Yeah, you know what, you can quote us on that.
Yeah, don't invade other countries.
War is bad, and you can quote me on that.
So just say it, like, just say we can't have it because whether the NHL or the NHLPA, something tells me it's both, wants Russia involved. Okay, then that's fine. You either come out and say we want Russia involved and we're gonna go ahead and do it anyways, or we can't have it, or we're not having it because we can't have Russia. And, like, but to just say the current climate, like, we know. We're not that dumb. It's like, oh, man. Stop treating fans like they're stupid, whether you're the Boston Bruins or the NHL or just, like, there's just so many instances. Like, just stop treating fans like they don't know. We know. We know.
Yeah, everyone knows. And what sucks, too, is that, look, like even if this was the Olympics, it wouldn't be solved. You know, like, Russia's, like, probably won't participate. Like, it's, you know, there's all these things that are going on. But it's not necessarily, you can't put the blame on the NHL as much as, you know, they usually do, that this is not happening. But it is, like, it's an absolute travesty. And this was pointed out by producer Drew of SDPN fame and formerly Sportsnet fame. And he's, like, the biggest homer for the Abs I've ever seen in my entire life. But he was correct in this opinion. I love you, Drew. Is that like it, like Nathan, it will be Nathan MacKinnon will be in his 12th NHL season, possibly, by the time he plays in a plays for Canada in a best on best tournament. That's a travesty. Nathan MacKinnon is one of the three or four best players in the NHL. He should be a staple of Canadian. He is a staple of Canadian hockey, but he should be in an official capacity a staple of Canadian hockey. And he has not played in a best on best tournament representing his country. He will be in his 12th season. He will likely, like, as much as Nathan MacKinnon is great, he might be out of his prime by then. Like, this is ridiculous. It's not fair. Connor McDavid hasn't represented Canada at the Olympics, you know? The last time he represented them in a best-on-best tournament was the World Juniors when he was, like, 16, you know? Like, this is insane. This is not how you grow the sport, man. Anyway. Speaking of growing the sport, though, Rachel and I, you and I were both in the building last night for Leafs and Canucks. You know, you as a fan, he's a press member.
Yeah, I was there, just to be clear, as a private citizen.
Yeah, as a, you know, like, you were, yeah, exactly. And so
I was drinking cider and eating peanut M&Ms. And also, I don't know who was in charge of this, but why did I appear on the Jumbotron for, like, multiple occasions?
It was so funny. It was just because, like, Ailish Forfire and Scotty Willits, they do their sort of pregame, their pregame thing right before the game. They're the in-arena hosts, and they set up, like, literally right in front of Rachel. Like, she's just kind of peering out behind them. I have a picture of it. It's great. another touching tribute that happened last night was with Boris Salming. You know, he, unfortunately, you know, he's been battling ALS, and ALS is one of the most just, like, horrific diseases out there. It robs a person of their ability to function, really, to control their own body. It traps you inside your own body. Boris Salming is also, like, it doesn't pick and choose who it affects. Like, this is a disease that, like, Boris Salming is one of the most, like, even now, like, he's one of the most in-shape people in the world. He was an underwear model, you know, like, for his own underwear. When he was, like, 60, yeah. Like, this man is, like, he is the peak of physicality, and yet, you know, he can't even speak at this point. But he goes out, and the night before, at the Hall of Fame game, and he is a Hall of Famer, Daryl Sittler was able to raise his hand so he could wave to the crowd. Last night, Boris Salming was able to raise his own hand and wave, which was, I mean, look, there was barely a dry eye in the place. And it's important just to touch on briefly just how important this guy is. Like, he came over, he was the only, like, he was, like, the only Swedish player, you know, in the NHL for a while. He really paved the way. Like, the Leafs started an entire Swedish starting lineup last night.
Was such a nice so tribute cool. by Sheldon Keefe.
And he explained it, and Keefe was like, look, I was really touched by the tribute before, and also, like, there's a good chance that none of these guys would be here were it not for the risk and Boris Salming paving the way that he did. So we wanted to honor him in that way, which is it's just remarkable that this guy is able to do it. He considers Toronto his second home. What a legend. I'm so glad he's in the Hall of Fame. And this is a guy, like, it's funny because in the tribute they were talking about him. He's like, in Sweden, I was considered a fighter. Like, I was considered almost like a goon, really. I was really good. I was considered a goon. Yeah. And then he's like, then I come over to the NHL and, like, I'm a pussycat compared to them. Like, this is ridiculous.
That's what he said. He literally said that. Like, a straight up quote.
And to be fair, I thought the quote was going to be, I was a goon in Sweden, but then I came over here and I was a and I'm like, whoa, boy. But no, he ended up doing that. But, like, this is a guy who got absolutely jumped by the Philadelphia Flyers that one game where he had, like, 72 stitches in his face. And yet, what was so cool is that, like, Dave the Hammer Schultz, who by his nickname you should know is, like, one of the toughest SOBs that's ever played in the NHL,
he was the leader of the Broad Street Bullies. I think we could probably just leave it at that.
He's one of the defining pillars of toughness in the NHL. And he was, like, the reason why we went after him is because he was so gosh darn good. And he kept coming back. No matter how much we beat him up, he kept coming back, being one of the best players in the league. Like,
he is, and this is not even a hot take, he is the greatest Leafs defenseman of all time, and it is not close.
The Leafs have been around for 100 years. Boris Salming is a defenseman, keep in mind, and he still has the franchise record for assists.
That is so wild.
Like, that's ridiculous.
He'll get passed. I mean, like, I think if Mitch Marner stays around, like, for the length of his career, Marner will pass him just forward, like, whatever. But, Like, if you think about that, this is a defenseman who also kicked ass and took names. Like, but he also is the franchise leader of a 100-year franchise in assists,
a major statistical category.
Yeah, and it almost, the one thing that, like you said, there was not a dry eye in the house. The one thing that really hit was, like, this almost felt like goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is what hurts. Like, there's a couple of major Leaf legends where, like, when they pass away, like, I will be genuinely upset. Johnny Bauer was one.
Yeah, Johnny Bauer got me.
Very upset. Boreas Salming will be one. Wendell Clark.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, Matt Sundin. Matt Sundin will shatter me as a human being.
Die.
Phil Kessel. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like that. It will be years in the future because he'll outlive us all. But the day that Phil Kessel passes, I might just go with him.
And Dave Keon.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
There are, and you just think, like, you look, and there's so much made about, like, having personality now. Like, don't get me, I think Trevor Zegras is fantastic for the league. But, like, you look at these guys, and the first words out of your mouth for pretty much every single one of these guys is class.
They're class acts.
Just absolute class acts. And, like, you could say the same thing for the Montreal Canadiens legends. Like, you don't just get afforded a state funeral just because.
No.
Like, people don't just afford you a state funeral. But, like, the fact that that's happened, like, I just think that not enough of young Leafs Nation knows about Boreas Salming.
They do now.
And they definitely do now. But it also, like, last night I'm sitting there, first period, the Leafs didn't play poorly. They just didn't score. Like, there were multiple points in the first period where, like, the Canucks didn't get out of their end for, like, a minute or 2 minutes. And they were down 2-0. And I sat there and I was like, are they really going to lose both games in front of these people? Like, are what?
And then they didn't.
No way.
Yeah, because the Canucks got out to a multi-goal lead, and we all know that that is the kiss of death. Speaking of Canucks and, you know, legendary Swedes, one thing that you know, you had the distinct privilege of doing is being around the Sedins in a professional capacity for a bit. You know, they just got inducted to the NHL, or to the, not the NHL, to the Hockey Hall of Fame, along with, you know, Daniel Alfredsson, Roberto Luongo, Herb Carnegie.
Shout out Herb Carnegie, by the way. That's way overdue.
Absolutely.
Way overdue.
And then an incredible Finnish player, Finnish female player that I unfortunately am blanking. Rika Salvin. There you go. Sorry. There's a lot of vowels in that name that led me to, I didn't want to mess
it
up.
She was great.
She was incredible. Like, I was writing profiles on all these guys and you know, like, she was before my time. But even just looking back through her accolades, through her statistics, and even through footage, like, oh my God, she's incredible. But you were around the Sedins for a bit, and that's a pretty unique thing. Like, they're not just incredible on the ice, incredible off the ice.
I tweeted this story briefly, but I'll tell it maybe a little bit more detail here. Like, the night I was hired, the night it was, like, announced, I was getting calls from, like, Stan Smeal, who, by the way, is, like, just a God, I love that man. He is tremendous.
Another class act, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Whether it was, like, Stan Smeal, Ryan Johnson. But I was sitting down to dinner, and I left my phone, like, kind of on the counter. And I came back, and I just see, like, a Vancouver area code number. And I missed it. And I called back, but there was, like, no voicemail. So I was like, oh, okay. So I texted my boss at the time, and I was like, do you know whose number this is? And he replied, Henrik sunglasses emoji. And I was like, Jesus Christ. So then Daniel called. He's like, this is Daniel. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, what? And he's like, I'm sure, like, Henrik is going to reach out too. We're so excited. And it was fantastic. And then Henrik finally called back, and I must have apologized like 70 times. I was like, I'm so sorry. I was eating dinner. Like, oh my goodness. I can't believe it. And he was just so gracious and, classy. And he was like, I hear you're a huge soccer fan. He's unbelievable. And then meeting them in person, whether it was like trade deadline, scouting meetings. Like, there's that video that the Canucks have out about our draft, the draft meetings, and they have like the conversation between Daniel and I, and but they're just honestly, Mike, like, they're really innovative in how they think about the game. They really understand the Vancouver market, and I think to a degree the Vancouver market is misunderstood by a lot of people. Those are really passionate fans.
Yeah, no kidding. We can tell. PK Subban's on TV, Rachel. That's pretty sweet.
Yo.
Signs a multi-year deal with ESPN to be an on-air commentator. I think everyone just assumed this was going to happen.
Last year, if you remember, we did the Christmas wish list. And one of Mike's wishes was to have PK Subban on a U.S. panel.
What? It worked.
It took 11 months, but we're here.
We need to redevelop what our the purpose of panels, like what we're looking for with panels. It's supposed to be like mid, you know, like sort of intermission entertainment. It's also supposed to like spark discussion. It's supposed to be a collaborative sort of thing. You know, like, not everyone agrees with everything that Shaq and Charles and all that say, but you know, like, we go through it, we give our own opinion, everything. What I think panels and
do you remember when Shaq was like the with the gasoline thing?
Oh yeah,
like where is that? That's what we need the gasoline nonsense.
I remember when Shaq tripped over a cord and took the entire studio with him on live on air. Like, you know, like, yes. It's just even funny unintentional stuff like that. But what I would love in this is, like, not everyone's going to agree with Shaq and Charles and you know Kenny and even Ernie, like. But it, you know, it sparks conversation, and they do it in a respectful way, and it, you know, it's everything, and it brings you back. You want to see what they're talking about next week and everything.
Oh man, PK Subban's gonna be so.
He's gonna so be. Good. He's gonna be really good, you know. And there's a reason why, you know, ESPN brought him in. There's a, like, he's gonna do great. All right.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be great. There's like a couple. There's a couple other players that I think would be
name names.
Like, I guess, I don't know, good. Whatever, like, I think eventually Trevor Zegers will be fantastic on a panel. Like, if you really get to know him, and everything I've heard, I think Cole Caulfield as well.
Oh, he's hilarious, yeah.
Yeah, like, what I'm saying, basically, like, I think there's a bunch of kind of the newer generation of player that is going to help sort of grow the personality of the sport. And that's really positive, because right now, like, it's not like they're playing in the Olympics and we're not having a World Cup of hockey. So you need to make kind of these like social media moments, right? Yes. Like you said, you tweeted out that Shaq and Ernie thing. We need to have that. So it's like, have somebody that can banter with PK, right? Find another like former player who like is relevant, because like, honestly, Shaq, unbelievable basketball player.
Charles Barkley, so like what he says is player.
Exactly. Like, all the guys that have the personalities on the NBA side were actually also good. PK Subban won a Norris. He was a fantastic defenseman. So, like, I don't think you can just have these fighters on and they're just laughing it up and whatever. Like, it needs to be somebody of consequence.
Yeah. It needs to be.
Like, it's gotta be something more fun. And, like, you know how, like, the NBA does, like, the dunk contest? And for All-Star Weekend, they'll bring guys in that aren't even in the All-Star game because it's, like, good for the game.
Yeah.
I think the NHL got it right with Trevor Zegers at the last All-Star game.
Thank God.
I think we need more of that. What if you just made the breakaway challenge and you told Trevor Zegers, Nick Suzuki, Patrick Kane, Jack Hughes, Mitch Marner, like, take some of the more entertaining, fun shootout specialists in the NHL and bring them for All-Star Weekend, even if they don't play in the All-Star game. Like, I think that's a really good way to create fun moments. Because then you've got, like, Trevor Zegers doing that, like, dodgeball thing, which is one of the coolest things I've ever seen in hockey, right? I think maybe ESPN is going to be the catalyst to do that. So I'm really happy that PK Subban's getting his chance here.
Oh, I'm so glad. So glad. All right, let's go to a fun little segment we have called What Did Rachel Miss? Where Rachel was both working hockey and then, you know, like, obviously wanted to detox from hockey for a little bit. What did Rachel miss? And I would say, first off, it's that you're another former employer of yours, the New Jersey Devils, they're being amazing. They've won 9 in a row. The fans, the greatest moment ever, which is the fans who booed Lindy Ruff during the home opener, then all decided to go, sorry, Lindy, during the game.
Devils fans, well done. That was tremendous.
That is one of the coolest moments ever. And Lindy Ruff loved it. He's like, you know, I forgive. Maybe one day we can all of us, all 17,000 of us can sit down and have a beer together. They're the best defensive team in the NHL, namely because they acquired a man called John Marino over the offseason. But, you know, like you have Jesper Bratt, Nico Hischier, Jack Hughes, Dougie Hamilton, you know, all of these guys just absolutely firing on all cylinders. What is going on in New Jersey?
Honestly, like, the Devils are so fun to watch.
They are,
right,
man.
Now.
And like, you would never think to associate that with them.
No, okay, so think like when we were children, the Devils were the single, them in Minnesota, unbelievably boring. But you look at it, and I think what they're doing is they're allowing their young guys to really strap the team on and say, we're going. Like, you have known this for years, like for 5 years. Who, apart from Damon Severson, will leave that? Who are my two favorite New Jersey Devils?
Nico Hischier and Jesper Bratt.
And how long have I been screaming about the fact that these guys have been underrated?
As literally as long as I've known you.
Oh, yes. Like, I am...
You will not shut up about it.
For no other reason. Yeah, for no other reason. Like, I'm just so happy that Jesper Bratt is doing what he's doing. He's such a fun hockey player to watch. Nico Hischier is getting... Like, even Devils Twitter was, like, all over him. And, like, now he's scoring, but he's also one of the best defensive forwards in the league. He's, like, just such a high-impact forward. And I really think that him taking a step and Bratt taking a step has been, a huge reason as to why the Devils are successful. Because let's face it, like, Devils fans know this. Like, the goaltending is not Vasilevsky-level goaltending.
No, but it's better. Vitek Vanacek's done everything they need him to, really.
Yeah, when you're the best defensive team in the league, and kudos to Lindy Ruff and his staff, when you're the best defensive team in the league, like, your goaltending doesn't have to be fantastic because you're really good in front of them. And I think that, like you said, that acquisition of John Marino, like, you got a high-impact defenseman. I don't think anybody thought Marino was going to be this good in terms of rebounding, but he's been excellent. He has been absolutely excellent, and, like, to a man, like, everyone in New Jersey is playing well right now, and the fans are finally, they got a good team to cheer for, and so, like, the Reds Beer Garden's got to be fired up, like, you just know, and honestly, like, New Jersey, like, Newark as a city gets dumped on, and to be fair, like,
as
right
it should,
now,
you live there?
like, I got mugged there, but, like, that building, like, I was there the year we made the playoffs. When the team is good, like, that building is awesome. And so, I mean, it's really nice to see that a bunch of the young guys have really turned the corner here. And there's something to be said for just, like, believing in those players and consistently sticking them in situations where they have to learn and they gotta grow. Like, I remember when Jesper Bratt was a healthy scratch. And now he's probably, like, Tom Fitzgerald can't be happy with how much money he's going to have to pay him. But I'm sure Tom Fitzgerald's thrilled that he has Jesper Bratt on his team.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I don't know if it was the best idea to bridge or to not even just bridge, because, like, can you even call a 1-year contract a bridge, to, like, sort of settle with Jesper Bratt before arbitration. Yeah. Like, and also, like, just sort of contemplate the entire summer to trade him. You know, I was the only guy basically working on the, you know, working throughout the entire summer, where I had to write, you know, like, you know, top five, you know, RFA is still on the market, or top five trade chips and all that, you know, just to get the content flowing in, like, the middle of, like it was.
And also you sending me your articles being like, you should sign some of these people so I can write. And I was just like, man, I don't have the authority to do that.
Like, Rachel, he's a good player. But, like, there was a point where I wrote I think it was like 850 words on the top three landing spots for Evan Rodriguez. You know, like, it was like things were tight at a certain point. But, like, Jesper Bratt, like, they were dangling him on the trade market from the moment the NHL, from the moment the season ended, and especially looked like he was going to get dealt to the draft, and he didn't, and then they signed him to what is a very good deal now, and they're going to have to pay him a lot of money. Like, they're going to have to pay him, like...
He might get more than Jack, which is crazy. Yeah,
he might get upwards of eight. Like, he's... Look, this is a 20... He's 23 years old. He's coming off 2-point-per-game seasons. Like, you know, he's a versatile winger. He's got great defensive numbers, great offensive numbers. This is a guy who you really want, you know, and for them to
and there's also something to be said. Like, can we just say this for a second? Like, we're not stupid. We know that they have two number one overall picks in their lineup. Like, we're not dumb.
Yeah.
Right. But that there's something to be said for, you know what? Like, obviously that was the Cale Makar draft. I'm sure they'd love to have Cale Makar. I'm sure literally everybody would like to have Cale Makar, but there is something to be said for being a team that says, you know what, we're not good enough right now, and we need to actually be actively bad to not harm our draft stock. And the owners deserve credit for that, because, like, Josh and David, they did this with the Philadelphia 76ers. That was, like, our first inkling in New Jersey that was probably going to be the way that the franchise went. And when you have an owner that's willing to say, okay, like, it might be 2 or 3 years of, like, pain, but now look, like, I know for a fact it's more expensive to get regular tickets, it's more expensive to get season tickets, it's more expensive to get suites. Like, when you're bad and you end up getting players like Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier, that sets your franchise up, like, for a long time. And so there's something to be said for teams that are capable of doing that and really believing in that system. And it's paying off. And honestly, like, don't get me wrong, I've had my run-ins with some Devils fans, but for the most part, like, those are good. Like, I'm happy for Greg Wyshynski. I'm happy for the Brat Pack. Like, it's good. Like, it's just good. And there's something to be said about, like, understanding that being a middling team is not really a sustainably successful thing.
And they're doing this, like, with Andre Palat on IR, you know, with Jonathan Bernier on IR. Like, and what's cool about this, too, is, like, we can see the New Jersey Devils, like, buy at the deadline. Like, they have all of their first and seconds for the next 3 years, you know?
And cap space.
And they have, at the moment, they have $1.8 million in cap space, but they have a lot of people on IR. Like, you can sort of move that around. Like, they have the ability to... Yeah. They have the ability to do this. Like, their salary pool is $4.1 million for LTIR in terms of relief. Like, they have wiggle room here. It's exciting, man. Like, this is a really fun, exciting team. I'm glad that we're finally seeing, like, Dougie Hamilton not riddled with injuries and able to, you know, to be that player. I'm excited that, you know, John Marino is just, like, I always have been a fan of him. You know, he very rarely do you get, like, a borderline elite defensive top four right shot defenseman on the trade market, and they were able to do that and really not give up, like, a crazy amount, like, you know, Ty Smith and who
I remember that, like, that was when that trade was made. I remember being like, that's it. Like, don't get me wrong, I really like Ty Smith, I think he's good, but, like, you're telling me that other team, like, hey, like, in the city we both live in, you're telling me the Leafs didn't have the assets for that?
They absolutely did. And, like, it's...
Are you, what?
There are a lot of trades.
You're telling me that other teams... You want to tell me the Oilers didn't have the assets for that?
Yeah. John Marino should have...
Kudos to... Tom Fitzgerald deserves credit here. Like, he has really taken... And his scouting staff does as well. Let's not get it twisted. Jesper Bratt was a really late round pick. And I think that... They do deserve credit for that, because they've built this team and they've made shrewd signings. I think Palat is maybe a little bit overpaid, but that is a very good player. And so, like, they deserve credit 100%.
Look, Palat is a little bit overpaid, but, like, I was at the Cup final. Like, I covered it. I saw the way that not like opponents talked about him. I saw the way that John Cooper would, like, marry Andre Palat if he could. Like, this is a beloved player, and this is a player who is extremely important. Like he was the engine of the that top line for the Lightning through the playoffs. Like, he is, and yeah, you know, $6 million a bit steep, especially at he's 31. Yeah, but, like, this is a versatile guy who can give you pretty much everything. Like, this is a good team. They have a lot of just really, like, even that Jonas Siegenthaler extension.
Fantastic.
Oh my
work.
God. Like, just, they're these little, like, there's these really sly moves that they've made. Like, and not just, like, you have John Morant, he's 25. He's doing this, and he's at $4.4 million until 2027. Like, this is incredible stuff. It's just really exciting to see. All right, another one. We have some hot starts, Rachel. Now that we're, what, like 14 games into the season, like, that's a big enough sample size to say, like, this is a hot start. Some people are struggling. And obviously the biggest one to talk about is Erik Karlsson. He's got 21 points. He looks like he's back. Like, this is, look, is he playing defense? Maybe not. But, like, this is an incredible dynamic offensive defenseman who seems to have turned back the clock. He finally seems healthy. I mean, this is just, like, the hockey world is a better place with Erik Karlsson at the top of his game. And is he ever?
Oh, my God. It's so much fun. Like, I love it. And nobody, you don't sign Erik Karlsson to ask him to play in the defensive zone. Like, you don't. Can he play defense? Yes, he can. But it's nice to see, the piece that was missing for me the past couple of years was the dynamic piece. And you wondered if that was going to come back after his original injury, and then just seemed like a litany of injuries after that. So for me, I totally agree with you. I think the game is a much better game when Erik Karlsson is performing the way he is. And I got to say, like, I'm just so happy, because even, like, we see the goals and the points and whatever, but, like, he dangled two dudes within, like, 3 seconds the other night, and, like, it didn't turn into anything, but it's hilarious. Like, he's so back, and I love it. I'm in.
Erik Karlsson.
Swedish defenseman.
Oh, yeah. Erik Karlsson is so good. Like, he's doing such good stuff. If anyone is trying to give the defense argument, if you show, like, an RAPM chart or something at me, I'm going to smack you right in the mouth. All right. Like, Martin Nikash is doing great. Rasmus Dahlin, speaking of you know, Swedish defensemen, like, he is finally becoming the borderline generational guy that we were talking about.
Yeah. I mean, like, he set the record to open the season with most goals, like, or most consecutive games with a goal by a defenseman. But it's not just that, like, obviously, I look deeper into the numbers, and he is winning all his matchups. Like, if you look at Buffalo players when they're playing with Dahlin, like, when Dahlin's on the ice versus when he's not, there is a legitimate difference, like a chasm difference. And so he is that guy now. Now they got Owen Power too. Owen Power looks fantastic. Matias Samuelsson, I think he's hurt right now, but he was great for them last year. And so, I mean, I think Don Granato deserves a ton of credit, because he seems to have been able to motivate to get Tage Thompson to play well, to get Rasmus Dahlin to take a step, to get Owen Power to take a step. John Jason Paterka looks insanely good. Dylan Cousins looks really good. Like, they just, Buffalo is back, and you and I both agree, like, Buffalo's got one of the best fan bases, like, in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Willing to go through. Like,
Buffalo is a better place when it's, or like I said with Erik Karlsson, like, the hockey world's a better place when the Buffalo Sabres are doing well. They're always the biggest local market in terms of ratings. Like, the fans are just so passionate. We see what it's like with the Bills. Like, it's like that with the Sabres when they're good. And having Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power as, like, as staples in your top four for the next, like, decade plus, goodness gracious, that's going to be great. And then Brandon Montour, like, this is one of the biggest surprises, is that he was able to fill in admirably, basically as Florida's number one defenseman while Aaron Ekblad was out.
Yeah, they lost Ekblad and Uyghur. Like,
yeah, Uyghur to a trade, obviously. But Ekblad was out injured. He's back now. But, like, and Brandon Montour putting up 15 points in the time that Ekblad, I believe it was 13 games or so when Ekblad's out. Like,
holy moly. Like, Florida's not had a great start to the season. And you would if you lose your two best defensemen. But, like, Brandon Montour, like you said, he's filled in admirably. Like, good for him. And I know people, like, kind of jumped all over him when he was at Buffalo, but I think he kind of showed that there is something there. Like, when you've got people to play with, and that's because when you've got people to play with, like, you get better too.
I'm starting to wonder if that Tkachuk, Huberdeau, Uyghur trade was the best thing from an asset management perspective. I am not 100% sure, but we digress. There were some cold starts. Number one is Roman Josi, who, you know, was basically outscoring most top six forwards last year. Now he's off to a bit of a tough start. I mean, Nashville, just in of itself, is off to a tough start. That's not a good situation there.
Yeah, UC Soros looks off. There's a couple goaltenders that have looked not fantastic to start. But yeah, UC Soros looks off. Roman Josi looks off. They don't seem to be getting to the middle a lot, which is honestly, it's a hallmark of John Hines hockey, is scoring off the rush and getting into the middle of the ice. They have the horses like Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, all capable of doing that. I'm really happy to see that Cody Glass got an opportunity, that video that they had with him. That was really, really cool. But yeah, like, I think it kind of goes to show you how important Roman Josi and UC Soros are in Nashville. Like, UC Soros was a Vezina candidate last year, and Roman Josi almost had 100 points. If those guys take even one step back, like, Nashville's in trouble. And I think it's twofold. Like, I think that the team, they're older, they're not as quick as some other teams, and the speed, the game is kind of going that way. And they're too reliant on their top guys.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, if you're Colorado, which is the best example to use, if Nathan MacKinnon's not scoring, which is rare, it's like, oh, look, there's a Valeri Nichushkin.
Yeah.
Alex Newhook. There's, like, if the top guys, like, if Cale Makar is not scoring, oh, look, there's Sam Girard.
There's Bowen Byram. There's all these different guys. Yeah. Yeah.
And so the way that I think Nashville's built is that they have to be reliant. And so if those guys aren't performing, kind of in tough.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Thomas Chabot in Ottawa. Look, Ottawa in itself, like, all these guys are on teams that, that are just not doing well in general. Like their hot starts are kind of coinciding with that of their teams. And a big one is Thomas Chabot with Ottawa. Look, he's... Like, is it fair to put him in this situation? He has to be, like, the only sort of, like, reasonable top four defenseman on that entire core.
They waived Nikita Zaitsev, my God.
Oh, my God. And shockingly, he went unclaimed. Whoa.
I think Thomas Chabot doesn't really have a ton, which is why it makes sense that Ottawa's in on Jacob Chychrun. The one guy who's been really good for Ottawa this year, Shane Pinto. Holy moly, that guy might be the front runner for the Calder right now. Alex DeBrincat's been pretty good too. But yeah, like, Thomas Chabot has not been very good defensively. Ottawa in general has not been very good defensively. I haven't watched them enough to say if it's the players that are underperforming or the system. Because that's a thing that I now cannot turn my brain off of. So cool, fun, amazing. But yeah, like, I think we all expected Ottawa to be better. I still think Pierre Dorion deserves credit because the moves he made were very good.
Oh yeah. Imagine what they'd be like without those moves.
Jesus. But I do think that, they need some serious help on the back end, because it's not fair to put Jake Sanderson, and some of the young defensemen, and Jacob Bernard Docker and Lassie Thompson, in positions where, like, they're getting thrown in the fire. I mean, the Leafs did that consistently, like, in the early 2000s, and it didn't go well.
Yeah, you know, ruined Stuart Percy, it ruined Luke Shen, you know, like, countless guys. It almost ruined, like, Jake Gardner and Morgan Riley. Like, it's, so I'm glad that they're...
Exactly, and, like, thankfully, like, the Leafs kind of saw sight and were like, okay, Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren, you're playing in the AHL. Travis Dermott, you too. And so I think that Ottawa's doing a good job of keeping those guys down there. Obviously, Sanderson's in the NHL, but I think they need to acquire someone to kind of insulate those guys.
And then we obviously have Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas. We can loop this into our St. Louis conversation, because it is a disaster in St. Louis right now. Like, they've lost their eight straight, I believe, all in regulation. You know, Ryan O'Reilly is having one of the most shockingly bad starts ever. I believe he still only has one goal. And I'm not sure. Has he gotten more than one assist? Like, last time I saw, let's see. Ryan O'Reilly is at... yeah, he's got 3 goals and 1 assist for 4 points in 13 games. He's logging 18.04, and he's a minus 12. Like, that is... That's brutal.
Wait. Okay, I don't do plus minus.
Yeah, but when it's
Ryan O'Reilly being minus 12 is notable.
I don't do plus minus either, but when it's big enough that it's, like, an anomaly, then you have to start going, like, okay, maybe it's a harbinger of something that's, you know, that like, a bigger issue. Things are not going well, but... You know, like, Doug Armstrong went out and he gave, you know, like, he gave a vote of confidence to Craig Berube. They just signed him to a contract extension, I believe, in May. Like, it's... what is going on here? Because Jordan Binnington, can we just blame it all on him? Like, he's bad, and he's been bad for the last 2-3 years.
Can somebody please fight Jordan Binnington? Like, just for all of us? Like, he clearly wants it. Just somebody do it. Like, I don't understand. Like, he shoved Ilya Sorokin that like, a couple weeks ago. And I was like, what are you mad about? Like, this is your fault.
He doesn't want... Like, here's the thing. It's that he doesn't want to fight. Like, he wants people to think he wants to fight, but he doesn't. If he wanted to fight, he would have by now. He doesn't want to fight.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like, he's... somebody call Mike Smith, please. Because, like... He would get clapped in a fight against Mike Smith. But, like, he barks up some weird trees. Like, he goes at players. They're super tough. I'm pretty sure he went at Matthew Tkachuk at one point. Like, yeah, Matthew Tkachuk's an immensely skilled hockey player. He could probably kick your butt, though.
Yeah. It doesn't make a ton of sense with what he's trying to do here. Like... And it's clearly taking away from his performance. He's been terrible this season. And he's a big reason why his team is in just the absolute... In a nightmare situation. Like, I don't...
So excited for St. Louis to pull a St. Louis and all of a sudden be good in the second half of the season.
Like, it's already 10 games. He's had 10 starts. You know, he's got an 8.95. And he's allowed negative 3.1 goals saved above average. Like, this is bad, man. He's been really bad.
That's so bad.
So, like, maybe focus on not trying to, like, pretend that you're a tough guy and, like, just
focus on stopping
stop the puck. That's your job. It's ridiculous. And then we'll loop in one of our last couple of things here is that Jonathan Huberdeau off to a slow start as well. I mean, other than Mackenzie Weaver.
I think part of that is there's so much turnover in Calgary this summer, like, legitimate turnover, that it takes, first of all, a couple things. It takes a while to gel as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really does. I've seen that firsthand. And secondly, Daryl Sutter's system is hard.
It takes a bit to adjust to that.
It is hard.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I think there's a little bit of that kind of happening there. But yeah, Calgary's not been very good. And I think a lot of it's to do with the turnover.
They'll figure it out.
You tend to see that a lot. Yeah. I'm pretty confident that Calgary will get that sorted out.
Now, a team that has not been very good and we are not confident will sort it out, at least this season, is the Columbus Blue Jackets. You know, they were supposed to be maybe not a playoff contender, but someone in the fight. I mean, you signed Johnny Gaudreau. You pair him with...
I think we expected, like, New Jersey to be Columbus and Columbus to be New Jersey.
Yeah, like, you're expecting Columbus to be, like, a team that is at least, like, playing meaningful hockey in April. Like, trying to fight for that in, like, late March, April, trying to fight for that last playoff spot. And you know, like I said, you sign one of the best free agents to ever come on the market in Johnny Gaudreau. You give Patrick Laine a massive extension. You know, like, you're adding these players that are supposed to really come in and give you a boost. And yet here you are. Things are not going well in Columbus. I mean, Laine, you know, he's finally back in line now, but then Zach Werenski is going to be out for the rest of the season now. Torn labrum, terrible. Just terrible. Like, that's, like, Zach Werenski, people have really sort of slept on him the last little bit. He got a lot of fanfare in his rookie season, but, like, this is a very good, not just offensive, but two-way defenseman. Losing him, that's massive.
Well, and Columbus, let's say that, like, I didn't totally understand the Gaudreau thing, because Columbus... And I could say this now. They had one of the best drafts this year.
Oh, they're incredible.
Like, oh my God. First, David Yurecek is unbelievable. Denton Mateychuk is going to be a top four defenseman. I have no doubt about that one. They took one of my short sons, Jordan Dume.
Yeah.
I love him. I'm pretty sure he's still leading the QMJHL in scoring. So, like, it would seem as though you don't need to be enormous to score. I don't know.
It's a good sign.
Foreseen that. They've drafted very well under Jarmo Kekäläinen. And so they're kind of coming. David Yurchek, in a couple games that he's played, has looked good. Noted Alan Walsh
client. Noted Alan Walsh client right there.
But I think it's weird. It kind of seems like Columbus has like two timelines. They have like the Jake Voracek, Patrick Laine, Johnny Gaudreau timeline.
Yeah.
And then they have the
Cole Sillinger,
Kent Johnson, Yurecek, and like maybe Connor Bedard timeline.
Maybe.
By the way, a line of Connor Bedard, Johnny Gaudreau, and Patrick Laine. Oh,
that'd be nuts. Anywhere but Arizona. That's what I said.
Well, I really want Bedard to be two things. In a small market,
mm-hmm.
like I don't want him to be a Montreal Canadian or like a Boston Bruin or like I don't want him to be in a big market. I don't want him to be a Red Wing.
Yeah.
And I also want him to not be on the West Coast and not on the East Coast. Like I kind of want him in the middle so you get like 8 or 8:30 starts.
Okay.
So that a lot of people can see him because it's 8. Like if he, let's say Columbus plays at 8. Well, that's 5 o'clock on the Western Seaboard.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right. So like, I just think it'd be healthier for the game if guys like Bedard and Fantilli were one in markets that could really pop. Because I think Columbus is a fantastic city. I think it could really pop as a market. And two, where the most eyeballs can view them kind of in a convenient manner. It is hard. Like I was in Vancouver. Like it is hard to watch Eastern games because it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah,
like, you're still working.
Yeah, it's
right.
Tough.
So I just think it'd be a little bit better if he was kind of in like St. Louis or, not Chicago.
Yeah, I was thinking like Midwest teams in Chicago, and I'm like, no, I don't want him there.
No, but Columbus would be super cool. I think.
No,
as
long as it's not Arizona, I'm good with that. Then finally. No. We have a goalie goal in the AHL. Yes, we're Wallstat.
Yo!
Incredible. We always have to.
Noted Judd Brackett pick, Jesper Wallstad. Who, by the way, Minnesota also, not that this should be a surprise to anybody, another ridiculous draft.
Of course. You know, you have Judd Brackett. Right. There you go. So, look, I love this stuff. Celebration was great. I love when goalies attempt to do it, you know, in a situation that makes sense. And I want to see that happen in the NHL sometime. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, don't go skating down the ice or anything like that. But
somehow it will get called back. You just know.
You know who I think could score a goalie goal at some point?
Who?
Thatcher Demko.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he seems like he'd go for
it. I think Thatcher Demko could score a goalie goal at some point. That is going to be – it's not like a prediction or anything. But, like, let's say if by the time Thatcher Demko's career is done and he's either come close to scoring a goalie goal or has scored one, I will – be not surprised at all.
Incredible. Yeah, that's what I want. Before we wrap up, I just want to give a quick just sort of like rest in peace to like just an actor that really meant a lot to me, Kevin Conroy. He's been the voice of Batman for literally my entire life. He is the definitive voice of the character. He started in the Batman animated series, which is also like one of the seminal works of, you know, like animation in not just in any world like that shaped my, you know, that came out or that was popular when, when I was like 2 or 3 years old. And like, that's what made me the Batman obsessed person I am today. And he went on to do it in just like countless, other TV series, movies. He's the voice in the Arkham games, which are some of the best video games ever made. He's the seminal voice of the character. Like when you're reading a comic book and you hear, you know, you're reading Batman's like dialogue, it's his voice. You know, he's an incredible actor. He's an incredible singer too. Like he was like the nicest guy in the world. I unfortunately never got to meet him, but anyone who's ever met him has said nothing but just he's the best, most warmest, accommodating person in the entire world. So, and he passed away suddenly at the age, I believe, of 66. Of cancer, which is terrible, happened out of nowhere on Friday. So I just wanted to give that. I think it's important because look, he meant a lot to me. He meant a lot to a lot of people, and it sucks. He's great, and he will always be remembered. He's a legend. Anyway, Rachel, it is just so great to have you back on the podcast. I mean, this is just it feels like we didn't even skip a beat. Like this is just awesome. So I can't wait to keep doing these with you. It won't be like you won't
Jesse's
be on,
still gonna be on.
Yeah, like, you won't be on like every week. Like sometimes it'll be me and you, sometimes it'll be all three of us, sometimes it'll be me and Jesse. I think I'm just gonna be the common denominator here, but it's just great to have you back. Love it.
Shocking to what people believe, I have a job.
Yeah, and
I've just chosen not to say anything yet.
Yeah, and the thing is, look, this is part of my job, so I have to be here. So I can't.
Yes, exactly. You actually have to show up.
But I love it. So yeah, thanks for coming back, Rachel. Just absolutely love it. This is great. Obviously, find the podcast on thehockeynews.com, iTunes, Spotify, everything, and we'll be back next week.
Yes, you will be back next week, and I don't know when I'll be back. We'll see.
But it'll be soon.
But yeah, thanks, everyone. Happy to kind of be back. I think I feel a little bit more at home here with the baby that I built. Yeah, happy to be back. Happy to be able to chat hockey with my best friends again. Because a lot of my really close friends are media people that I had to kind of shut out for a while. And that, honestly, it sucked. Like, it sucked just not being able to, like, hang out with your friends for fear of, like, getting in trouble. And so it's really nice just to be able to, like, go out and see my friends. And, yeah, so I'm happy to be back. And I'll be back when I can be.
Terrific. All right, well, we will see you next week. Goodbye.